Rob, welcome to RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you very much.
Can you take me back 100 years? What was the charity doing back in 1918?
At that stage, it was busy looking after already lots of blinded men from the First World War. We were founded in response to the First World War. We actually kind of essentially span out of the RNIB, but soon became essentially autonomous. And we were founded specifically to look after, train, rehabilitate and provide lifelong support for those coming back from the war blinded.
And did the end of the First World War change the job of the charity very much?
Not really, because there were still a lot of men coming back blinded from the war for some time after the war had finished. Partly that was just the mechanics. It took time to get people back into the country through hospital and tours. But some people also kind of slipped through the net as well. They didn't perhaps know about us. So we were still getting people coming in quite a while after. And in some cases, the effects of the wounds or in some cases the gas that they'd been exposed to in the war, the effects were quite long term. So we were still actually getting World War One guys coming to us in substantial numbers while the Second World War was on, which is quite extraordinary.
And back then you were St Dunstan's. And I understand that actually RNIB and St Dunstan's have quite a lot of shared history.
We do, yes. I mean, as it goes back to the beginning, really, and a gentleman called Sir Arthur Pearson, who, having gone blind, became very involved with the RNIB. He was its treasurer, later president, and he also founded us. So we had the strong links right from the beginning, but we've collaborated on a number of initiatives over the years. One of the nicest one, actually, is Talking Books, which was really co-developed between the two organisations. And the driving force there was our then chairman, Ian Fraser, later Lord Fraser, who himself was a blind veteran. He was blinded at the Somme, very interested in technology. And a lot of those kind of collaborations have continued. We've collaborated over things like the long white cane training in later years and other technological innovations, text-to-speech machines, those kind of things.
And 100 years on, how are you commemorating the centenary of the end of the First World War?
We're doing something we think is very special. We're going to put up what we believe is the only permanent memorial to any disabled group in this country. And essentially it's building on something that was done for us before. It's the work of a sculptor, Joanna Domka-Guillot, who did a marvellous sculpture for us as part of our centenary celebrations back in 2015. It was a temporary piece. It went up outside Westminster Abbey just whilst we were having a special service in there. And it's effectively seven figures, all with their hands on the shoulder of the man in front. So it's very reminiscent of some of the photos from the First World War you see of men blinded by gas in particular, and also of John Singer Sargent's painting, Gassed, very famous painting. And this is a permanent vision. It's been cast in bronze, and it's going to be placed at the entrance to Manchester Piccadilly Railway Station, available for everybody to see and hopefully, you know, engage with as they come into or out of the station.
And it's called Victory Over Blindness, which is rather an intriguing title.
Yes, it's one that kind of links our early years to our present day. So it's a phrase that was very dear to the heart of our founder, Sir Arthur Pearson. His memoir was entitled that. We used it a lot in our early promotional material, but also it's very much speaks to the ethos of the charity, that blindness is a handicap which can be overcome. It's not an affliction to be borne. And that idea of positive thinking and the idea that with support and assistance, training where necessary, blinded people can live as full a life as any sighted person. It speaks to that ethos, really.
And I understand that each of the seven figures depicted in the statue is a blend of real people.
That's right, yes. We've linked them to both seven of our First World War blinded men and seven of our blind veterans today to, again, link past and present together.
Could you tell me a couple of their stories, maybe?
Absolutely, yes. Some nice ones include perhaps the links between Angus Buchanan, who's probably one of our, in some ways, better known early blind veterans, in as much as he was awarded the Victoria Cross for his bravery in the war. A little later on, he'd been serving in Gallipoli. He was actually blinded whilst in Mesopotamia, as then was, kind of modern-day Iraq. and he was hit by a bullet, basically, sniper fire, and lost his sight. And he was very, very bright and an able man, and he came to us, he trained with us. But he'd been at university before he enlisted in the war. And he went back afterwards and he studied law, became a solicitor. He was also very keen on sport. He did a lot of sport at university, keen on rowing. And we've linked his story to one of our younger current-day veterans, Simon Brown. Simon served in the Royal Electrical and Mechanical Engineers, and whilst he was in Iraq, he went in to get colleagues who were under fire out of danger. He was also hit by sniper fire, lost one eye completely. He's got a little bit of sight left in the other. And Simon's story really is that over time he came to us, has come to work for us, and we felt this was a nice link to kind of compare and contrast the two stories. There are similarities and some differences.
And I understand that there's another pair who are actually a father and son.
Yeah, this is a particularly nice story, I think. So Thomas Van Zeller was, again, First World War veteran. He lost an eye in the war. He served for a long time afterwards, actually, even with the one eye. But he lost his sight completely much later in life. The other eye failed over time. So he came to us, actually, I was saying before about some people coming to us way after the First World War had finished. He was one who came to us in the late 60s. And he wasn't there, it was sadly very long before he passed on. But his name is one of those that's commemorated at our centre in Brighton. We've got a board recording all the honours given to our past blind veterans, and present actually, and there are lots. And his son, Peter, came to us just a couple of years ago and has become a permanent resident at our centre at Brighton. And he became aware through the honours board. He hadn't realised that his father had actually come to us towards the end of his life. So that was how he discovered it, which is a lovely story. It's nice to have that.
And following on from that, I know that you have never been so busy, that you've never had so many members. People don't simply have to have lost their sight in combat anymore to be a member of Blind Veterans UK, do they?
That's right, yes, yes. We expanded, essentially, in the year 2000, so we still do very much have blind veterans who lost their sight in. We've got a few still from the Second World War and from subsequent conflicts, going up to the most recent ones, really, in Iraq and Afghanistan. But we took the decision to open it up also to those who had served and lost their sight at any time for any reason, and that's expanded the numbers considerably. And so, yes, we're currently at over 4,500, which is absolutely a record high. And we're very much also, and again, this goes back to the Victory Over Blindness sculpture at Manchester Piccadilly. We're hoping that the interest that will raise will help us reach out to even more people, because we're very aware that there are other people out there who have served, lost their sight, and don't perhaps realise that we've changed criteria, aren't aware of us at all. So we very much hope it'll prompt more people who need our support to get in touch with us.
As well as standing as a monument to the amazing work that you've done and those who've lost their sight whilst in service of their country. How do people find out more about the sculpture and about Blind Veterans UK?
The obvious place really to start, I suppose, is the website. So we're blindveterans.org.uk. And there's actually a special site, a microsite, devoted to the sculpture. So anybody particularly interested in that, you can get a link through the main site, or it's the blindveterans.org.uk/victory.